In Psalms chapter 107,
several times in this chapter, verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, and verse 31, we read the same words. And they are, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord." A lot of the times in the book of Psalms, you read that, where David praises God and encourages us to praise God. In Psalm, we're going to go back to this, but in Psalms 5, 52 and 9, he says, "I will praise thee forever." Psalms 52 and 9. In Psalms 54 and 6, "I will praise thy name, O Lord." In Psalms 69 and 30, "I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving." In Psalms 86 and 12, "I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore." In Psalms 145 and 2, "Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever." In Psalms 113 and 1, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun," listen to what he says now, okay? "From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised." Do we do that, brethren? Do we praise God all day? Do we think about praising God enough? Are we so wrapped up in our own little world that we just can't seem to remember to praise God? I think when you study the Psalms and realize what David said, you can see the vast importance of praising God. I know a lot of times, and I preached, you know, this week, and a lot of things that I've spoken about is just kind of everyday living. But this is everyday living too, isn't it? Of praising God. In 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 11, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever." All things we glorify him through Jesus Christ. That we always give him praise. We always give him dominion. We know of sin. We know what it does to people. And I guess some sin I might can understand. Maybe like somebody stealing if they're hungry. They don't make it right, does it? But you kind of understand if somebody does that. But I can never, never, never understand somebody taking God's name in vain. Can you? Why would anybody, anywhere, anytime, for any reason, ever use the name of God in any way but reverence and honor and glory and dominion? Words we say many times, we may not know what we're saying. I played golf with this guy, and he used the word gosh one day. He used it again later that same day, and I said, "Tony, you just cursed."
He said, do what? I said, that's God's name. He said, I didn't know that, Wilbur. I said, I didn't think you did. He didn't want to use that. I knew he didn't want to use that. You say, gee whiz? Gee, that's short for Jesus. You talk about great day, you talk about judgment day. See, friends, when you use God's name, you're so careful of how you use it. Because God loves you. God cares for you. God knows about you. He created you and He created me. And all these wonderful blessings we have around us. Are we so forgetful not to see these things? Are we so blind? You know, read over in Romans chapter 1. And he talks there about the things that God has done and about the things that we should see about God and know about God. He says in verse 19 in Romans chapter 1, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. He shows it unto us. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. We see it in the birds that fly, the sun that rises, the rain that comes, the baby that is born. All these things, we see God in these things. Are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful. And brethren, in the Bible so many times we find remember to be thankful. Be thankful, be thankful. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations or in their reasonings, and their foolish heart was darkened. That is sad. Because you're talking about people not seeing God in these things. And brethren, we of all people should see that easy enough, shouldn't we? Now let's go back to Psalms. And let's go back to Psalms 107. And this time, verse 43. He talks about all these things, like I said, four times in there he says, oh, that men would praise the Lord. But then verse 43 says, whoso is wise, you think you're wise? Sure you are. You use your good judgment. You use your head. Sure you do. You know, people can do a lot of things. They know how to make money. They know how to bake a cake. They know how to hit a baseball. They know how to operate a computer. All these things we know. So we've got wisdom, haven't we? So whoso is wise, and then he says, and will observe these things. What things? How to hit a baseball? How to operate a computer? No. Observe the things of God. Observe the things of God. See, sometimes we get so caught up in our own little world, and what we want to do, and what we want to enjoy, and we forget about God. And like I said earlier, we try to squeeze Him into our spare time. And He don't fit. He doesn't fit there. He's not going to accept that. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And friends, that's what the Bible does for you and me. We see as we study the loving kindness of God. Because what it does to you when you read, you appreciate what He's done for you. You can't miss it. That's right. You cannot miss it. You cannot read the story about Jesus Christ and not appreciate it. I don't believe you can do it. I don't believe you can do it. He did something. And he remember what he prayed to God? If there be some other way, let this cup pass from me. But you know what else he said? Not my will, but thine be done.
Not my will. If it's some other way, Father. And you know, it's so sad. He said seven things on the cross. And to me, the saddest thing he said when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He felt the presence of God leave him, I believe. And he said, why have you forsaken me? That's just heart-wrenching, isn't it, to think about that? He's dying for me and you. The world's greatest story, the song says, has ever been told. The world's greatest story. Oh, it's so sad. But if we're wise, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2 and 15. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, you know what that says, brethren, this first part there? He says, study to have God's approval. Of all the people in life that you want approval from, who do you want the most? You want God's approval, don't you? Friends, it don't matter if I approve of your life or not. It don't matter if you approve of mine or not when it gets right down to the brass tacks of the matter, does it? But if God don't approve of me, I'm not going to be saved. I might have religion that's approved by many, many people in the world. It may be accepted by my society today. But if my religion is not approved by God, it will fail me in the greatest day of need of my life, and that will be judgment day if my God does not approve of my life. And so Paul tells Timothy to study to have God's approval, that you can rightly divide the word of truth. But brethren, we've got to, please, we've got to do these things. We can't lock that over our head. We cannot do that. As we said just a little bit ago, we've got to press. In 2 Timothy 3 and 15, he talks here to Timothy, and he says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Now, friends, that describes me. I don't remember life without a church. I don't remember life without a church. You know, that's one thing. If you can get up, you go to church. If you're able to eat, you can go to church. What it kind of amounted to. And Timothy evidently was the same way. As a child, he'd known. And he says, these holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, which is through faith which is in Christ Jesus. He says, Timothy, these scriptures make you wise. But friends, if you don't read it, you're not going to know it, and you'll never live better than you know. You will not. If you don't know it, you will not live it. And he says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 1 Corinthians 4 and 10. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We're weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Paul was talking about certain things they were going through. And he said there that you're wise in Christ. But brethren, are we really? Can he say that about Sierra Vista? Can he say that about Tucson? Can he say that about Willow Creek in Auburn, Alabama? Are we wise in Christ, brethren? Or have we kind of just lost our edge? The fires have died on the altar in our life, within us. I remember when I was baptized, I was 9 years old in the spring of 1948. And I remember going to what they call Graveyard Creek. It's part of the river, part of the Tallapoosa River. But that area, that's what they call because it was close to the graveyard, I guess. But they call it Graveyard Creek. I remember being baptized there. I remember how I felt. I remember that. You may remember the same time about when you were baptized. But have you lost that desire? Have you forgotten your prayers from your old sins? The psalmist David said, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be wise, observe these things." Husbands and wife in Colossians 3 and 18. He says in verse 18 of Colossians 3, "Wives, submit to." Y'all ready? We ought to take that out of there. You know what a woman said one time about that women keep silent in the church? She said, "It's not in my book. I cut it out." You believe that? You believe that? What does that say, sisters? "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fitting the Lord. Husbands, love your wife." What? Did you know I'm going to go straight to hell if I don't love Sue? You think that's a suggestion? You think that's a suggestion? Do you really believe that? Now, I'm not going to love if I try to find fault with her all the time. Uh-uh. I try to nitpick. See? Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things. You children hear that? Y'all hear that? Children, obey your parents in all things. A lot of children here this morning. That's right. "For that is a way of pleasing unto the Lord." See, friends, this is wisdom. This is wise. In Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 22, again he talks about this, right? He says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands." What does it say? What's those next four words? Huh? What do you read up there? "As unto the Lord," isn't it? Do what? Run that by me again. Okay. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." It's coming out of the Bible. Y'all don't believe this? You're not going to do this? "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." Huh? Is there any man that ever lived could be head of the church besides Christ? Huh? Can a woman ever be the head of the man? You're violating the Bible. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to float. No, sorry. God's always got a plan, always got a way. And you know what? Every time it'll work. It never fails. No, sir, it don't. See, friend, this is whosoever is wise. This is wisdom right here. "And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let their wives be to their husbands." And what does that say right there? Most things, sometimes. But what else does it say? In everything. "Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church." Now, the man has a greater responsibility, in my humble opinion. Because if you love your wives, as Christ loved the church, she's going to be submissive to you. They don't say, if he don't love you, you don't have to do what he says. Wives, he don't tell you that. He don't tell you that. But he tells us, men, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. See, brethren, this is wisdom. Oh, it is. And it's right down to the very basic things of life he's talking about. How to make your marriage work. And it will work. And it will work beautifully. As God has it planned out. See, because you're one. And when you're one, you're one. You're superglued. And nothing breaks that bond but death. That's right. Just like you said, till death do us part. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, he says in back in Psalms 107 and 43. Observe these things. How observant are we about the things in God's Word? How observant are we? We've got to observe these things. Do we take His blessings for granted? You know, probably out here in Arizona, when you get some rain, I doubt y'all take it for granted. I don't know that, but I doubt you do. And you probably, I wouldn't be surprised at this, you probably thank God for it. I wouldn't be at all surprised if y'all don't thank God for it. I wouldn't be surprised if y'all don't pray for rain. Oh yeah. Because why? You say we need it. But what about those things that we have an abundance of that we need, but we just have an abundance of? You have a meal, and about halfway through the meal, you think, do we offer thanks for the meal? I don't know. Who said the blessing? Did I even thank God for this? You know what I heard one time? Me and Sue went out to this little restaurant to eat called the Farmhouse. And we're sitting at this table, and it's kind of, you know, you kind of bunched up there together at these tables, you know. And beside this table was an elderly lady, and I don't know how old, I say she might have been in her 90s. She's sitting there with a younger lady, and they were eating. And so they get ready to go, and this younger lady says, this older lady, she says, whatever, I don't know her name. She said, have a good day. And you know what this older lady said back to her? And I'm going to try to just quote her. I don't know if she said honey, but I think she said honey. She said, honey, every day you can get out of bed is a good day. I looked at Sue, she looked at me. You hear that? We're eavesdropping, you know. You hear that? I heard that. Every day you can get out of bed is a good day. Observe these things. But we got to be wise, hadn't we? Like you said, whoso is wise. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Today, I want to help you to do this, okay? To praise God, to be thankful, to be wise, to make good decisions with your life, with your marriage, with your children. You children, make good decisions about your life. Obey your parents, and the Lord, Ephesians 6 says. Ephesians 6 and 1. Let's put that up there on the board. Look what it says, children. You know, when I was a little boy, I had my granddaddy's brother, Uncle Gene Pitts. And he told me, he says, now, Wilbur, you remember that scripture. You commit that scripture to memory. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee. See, that it may be well with thee. Because mom and daddy knows what's best for you to do and you to have. And thou mayest live long on the earth. Oh, what wisdom. And then we see, whoso is wise, we observe these things. We understand what? Back to Psalms 107. We understand what, brethren? The loving kindnesses of the Lord. All these things He's given us. But you know what I need most of all? Forgiveness of my sins. Because I am a sinner. I am a sinner. And I've got to have forgiveness of my sins. And I cannot have it without the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know, Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 11. And I believe it's verse 28. Matthew 11, about verse 28. Some of the most beautiful words in the Bible to me. He says, come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn about me. Learn about Jesus, he says. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Friends, the heaviest cross you'll ever carry is that cross of sin. And you know what it's going to do to you? You're not going to feel good about yourself. Oh no, it's going to weigh you down. It's going to worry you. You're going to lie awake at night and you're going to think about it, probably. What you've done, what you've said, what you're not doing, and how you're living. And oh, you try to put it out of your mind. And you do sometimes. You get busy with other things. You try to put it out of your mind. But it's still there. It's still there. Can you imagine the horror that you're going to feel when you press a dying pillow to know that you're not ready to die and you're dying? I read one time where a woman was at her husband's bedside. And he was very, very sick. And she said to him, she said, I want to hear from you for maybe the last time. In whom do you place your faith? She said to her husband. He said, the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. That's wisdom, isn't it? That's wisdom. That's seeing what it does for us, what it does for mankind. Whoso is wise, observe these things and understand the loving kindness of the Lord. We don't know the minds and hearts of people today that are here. Maybe the Lord has touched you with His Word. Maybe you're not a member of the church. Please come to be baptized, to be born again. Please come. There's no better time. It may not come to you like it's coming to you right now, ever again in your life. I read a story about a woman that said that very thing. She said she went to church that morning fully intending to be baptized. She said, I could not tell you what changed my mind. But I changed my mind. And she said, that's been years ago. Listen to her words. And I've never again felt the inclination to be baptized. That's right. That was a woman's word. If you are a member of the church, you have not lived as you should, please come back. Please confess your faults. Please ask for forgiveness. Please ask for prayer and God will forgive you. God will forgive you. Won't you come to the front as we stand and as we sing?
Sing number 157.